What happens when an Israeli Jew with an Orthodox background hears the audible voice of God? I mean, the forbidden word in Judaism, it's revealed. Next on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with an Israeli from a very unusual background. You see, his grandparents in 1929 immigrated from Yemen to Israel. He's a Yemenite Jew. How important, Amnon Shor, was your family, your as we say, your mishpacha?
Well, you know, Grandpa, Sid, at the, as you said, 1929, came to Israel, an Orthodox Jew from the tribe of Judah. We know that. That's my middle name, my father's first name, and so on and so forth. They came back because Grandpa believed that this is the time of Messiah's redemption. Being a rabbi, he was very well versed in the scripture, and so he felt prompted, as he said to me, by God to come back to the land.
So were you the first generation to leave Israel after your family came back?
You know, it is amazing because my brother Gideon and myself are the first generation to be born in Israel. Hmm. And then I'm the only one that actually does not live in Israel.
Why did you leave?
Well, I met my wife. I was working for the Israeli airline, and I met my wife, Lynette, and she is an American, and it was a matter of choice for me to, for us now as a married couple, to live in Israel or to live here, whereby I could go to school and study, and we decided that we would live here and eventually move to Israel.
You told me, well, the door was kind of closed because you didn't want to be a rabbi.
Well, I didn't want to be a rabbi, although I could live in Israel without being a rabbi, right, as you know, and not everybody is a rabbi there, you know. And so I decided at an early age, in my early teens, that I did not want to continue and pursue this life of Orthodox Judaism, to become a rabbi, as did four of my cousins. So I threw the yarmulke, you know, the kippah as we call it, and no longer that I will observe the Sabbath, I will drive my car or other vehicle on the Sabbath, and so on and so forth.
You came to the United States, and the thing that is so amazing to me as I've gotten to know Amnon is he wasn't drinking, he wasn't on drugs, and all of a sudden he had what is known as an open vision. What happened?
Well, Sid, I was in California coast at a friend's house in 1988, and it was in early April. And I have seen a great, bright, amazing bright light that filled the room that I was in. And I was so startled and shocked. And what I have seen is that I'm back on Mount Sinai. And when I say I'm back on Mount Sinai, one has to understand that I served in the Sinai between 1971 and 1974, which included the Yom Kippur War.
Yes.
And so the territory was extremely familiar to me. And then later on, I was a tour guide that took people from all over the world through this, the area of Jerusalem and the Judean wilderness into the Sinai, and the tour culminated on Mount Sinai. So the territory in the physical realm was very familiar to me. And here, years later, I'm seeing this, and I am not there. I'm in the California coast, and I'm asking, what in the world is this? You know, thoughts goes through your mind. So, and I'm hearing my name being called. And I thought that I'm seeing some weird things. And then I was saying, what? What? Then I realized that it must be God. And I said, what God? And I haven't heard anything of that. You know, meanwhile, the time kind of went by. And it was early morning, and I was driving from this friend's house, which is about 150 miles, to our home in Central California. And I'm seeing the whole thing all over again.
While you're driving?
While driving.
It is a little dangerous, isn't it?
Oh, very much so.
I mean, you are driving and you're seeing this open, the Sinai,
thing.
And do you feel like you're there or you're just seeing a television show or?
No, I was behind the wheel of my car. And
do you feel like you're in the Sinai?
No. I was there. I saw it like I was there. It's like my feet were standing on it. It was just so incredible.
How did you see the road?
I don't know, Sid. I don't know. I left at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it takes about 2.5 hours to get there. And I did not get home until late afternoon, almost by dinner time.
You must have been pretty startled.
It was intense.
It's an understatement.
And I remembered I had what was then a car phone. And I remember trying to call my wife, and it was dead. And this is an area that was completely covered because I talked to her on the way there to the coast because our three young children were not feeling well at that time. And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, that I have contact with my wife. And
I'm just curious, when you got home, did you tell your wife what happened?
I did. I didn't have to tell her. She said to me right away, what happened to you? And I said, what do you mean, honey? She said, your face. I said, what about my face? She said, you were all red. It's like you have a suntan.
Were you outside?
Well, part of the day, but it was an overcast day in early April. It was an overcast day, and part of it, you know, part of the day even rained. And if you look at me, you know, with my dark complexion, we simply don't get sunburn. And I grew up on the Mediterranean coast. And I looked indeed, lo and behold, in the mirror, and I was red, like indeed I was exposed to some great intense light.
You know what? It reminds me of the type of burn you might get if you were out in the Sinai desert. We'll be back just after this word. YouTube, Mishpocha. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. This is Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. If you've been blessed by this show, please subscribe. Then click the bell so you won't miss a single episode of It's Supernatural. Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm here with an Israeli, Amnon Shor. And Amnon is, for lack of better words, minding his own business. And a bright light comes in. He's not on drugs. He's not on alcohol. A bright light, brighter than he'd ever seen before. And he's used to the Sinai Desert. He's in the United States at this time. And he sees a vision of the Sinai Desert. He knows exactly. And he hears his name being called. Amnon. What does your name mean, by the way, in Hebrew?
I mean a faithful son.
Very interesting. So you hear this, you try to reach your wife by cell phone, you come home, and you don't burn. When you're out in the sun, do you normally get sunburns? Because of your complexion.
Right.
Okay. And you weren't really out in the sun. It was raining during the day.
And it was kind of an early spring day. It was not summer at all.
And what did your wife say to you when she saw you?
She said that it looks like I have a sunburn all in my face, my forehead. And indeed, I looked in the mirror, and it was pretty, pretty red. I don't ever recall getting to that point, you know, growing up.
So did you tell your wife you heard a voice from God?
I started to tell her, to explain to her. I said, you have to sit down. And so we sat down, And we talked until about 4:30 in the morning, and she was so tired and exhausted. However, it was so amazing and intense that I tried to make a sense of it, mm-hmm. but I couldn't. I really couldn't make sense. What she said, what did you see? I said, that's the words I used. I said, I saw what I think was something like the burning bush. Hmm. And she said, wow, this is really incredible. So I said, with that thought, you know, we try to go to sleep somehow.
Oh,
and,
good luck.
Yeah, right. And so I managed to get somewhere close to 2 hours of sleep. But then the next morning, is taking a shower, you know, in shaving. And I heard the same thing. I saw the same thing, and I heard my voice being called again. And at this time, I was ready. And I said right away, yes, Lord, Ken Adonai, in Hebrew, Ken Adonai, meaning, yes, my Lord. Adonai in Hebrew literally means my Lord. And he said, read the book of Micah.
Had you ever read the book of Micah previously?
No.
Wait a second. Coming from such a good Jewish background from Israel, you never read the book of Micah.
Sid, you very well know that, you know, there are certain scriptures within the prophetic books that are not read. They are called the forbidden chapters. One of them is Isaiah 53. Another one is Micah 5 and Daniel.
So what happened when you read this?
Well, Micah means he is God. That's what Micheyahu. Mm-hmm. And that immediately on the way down to reach for the Bible that was given to me by a friend that I never read, was sitting on the shelf for over a year, I said, wow, Micheyahu, you know, he is God. And I started reading, and I got to Micah 5. And 5:2 says, Ve'ata Bethlehem, Tzair lihiyot be'alfei Yehuda, and you, Bethlehem, the youngest one of Judah, from you will come a ruler, and his origin is of everlasting. And this is a literal translation of the Hebrew. I can tell you, Sid, what happened is that when I read that, I felt that some kind of a great power coming over me. And it is like your veil, something has been lifted, something has been taken away. And I saw and I knew that this was only one person that could fulfill that, and his name was Yeshua. And you know as well as I do that we have been raised with the name of the Messiah of Jesus in English is a taboo. Not to come and not talk about it. We don't go to churches. We don't marry them. We don't do anything with them. As a matter of fact, we, you know, rarely even sit down and have dinner with them. And to me, it was just unbelievable, amazing revelation because, you see,
I have to ask you, did the thought cross your mind, what will I tell my parents?
Of course. You know, I have a cousin that just married a Gentile, and she's totally cut off. Uncle Saul cut her off, tore his garment, set Shiva on her, and never saw my cousin until the day he died.
So I guess you just denied the experience and stopped
believing
in Yeshua?
No. Right away, I knew that was indeed who it is. And I said, oh, Lord. And I felt so dirty, so dirty, I can't even tell you. And I went down on my knees and I started to cry.
Wait. Your background like you went on your knees?
I did.
Jews don't go on their knees.
I know. That's what I did. And there was absolutely nobody in that room. I had an office in the house, and the door was closed, and there was absolutely nobody there. And I went down on my knees, and I was just sobbing. I was just crying for about an hour. Or so, I don't know, I lost track of time, but I figured about that long. And I just remember just saying, oh, Yeshua, oh, you are the ruler, you are the governor, you are the king. And all I remember just saying, just be my Lord, just be my King, and I will follow you because you are the Messiah. You're indeed the forbidden one of Israel. You are the one that we have been forbidden to even think about.
Strange happenings going on here in the Amnon Shor household. We'll be back right after this word. I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. Before we go back to Amnon Shor, I mean, this bold Israeli soldier finds himself weeping and realizing that the prophet Micah was talking about the forbidden word in Judaism, Jesus, or Hebrew, Yeshua. But before we go back to Amnon, I want to have sort of like a mini council meeting. I'm going to go into the production studio, talk to Janie Duvall, and I'm going to let you come into our discussion as to who's on next week. Who is our guest, Janie?
Sid, you'll be interviewing Mary Frances Varallo, and this is a woman whose daughter was in the worst car accident. Her ear was hanging off, the artery to her heart was torn, her brain was like slush, and for 2.5 months, she was in a coma. But Mary kept on speaking supernatural words every single day to her daughter. And her daughter is, well, her daughter is walking around today, but the MRI, the brain scan still says that the brain cells are dead.
My goodness, did you get that? She's got dead brain cells. This is the MRI, this is the medical source. Dead brain cells, and not just functioning good. She's a brilliant woman. I can't wait till next week. But Amnon, we left off at a very critical point. I mean, this is the third time you find yourself on Mount Sinai, and all of a sudden, and this is like in a vision form, coming from such a good Jewish background, and you're weeping. Are you a man that used to weep a lot?
No, I was a paratrooper in the Israeli army. I fought in the war.
Why were you weeping?
Because I realized that the Messiah is indeed true, and the message about him is real. And it's not just real, it's for today.
But why were you weeping?
Because I realized that I was deprived, and I was full of sin and dirt, and I just needed cleansing.
What happened next?
I asked Yeshua to be my Lord. And if in the Hebrew language, the word Yeshua means salvation, but it goes more than that. Yeshua means salvation now. That's what the word Yeshua means. And so when it kind of resonated in my mind, And I spoke it, and I said, "Oh, Yeshua," and then I realized that I have to have him now, and so I asked him, at that moment on April of 1988, "Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my Mashiach."
Were you set up? Did some Christian tell you to say that?
No,
no,
no.
Had you ever seen someone do something?
No. No, I was raised, I told you, Orthodox. I was never part of any Christian church except one time I went to a Christmas celebration under duress whereby I thought it's going to be a guillotine at the door, slashing my head and splitting my head, half open, killing me because I dared to cross the line. That's how I felt years before.
Now, so, obviously, your family was not ecstatic when you said you were a believer in Jesus as the Messiah, but something very unusual started happening to your dad.
Yeah, that's an understatement to say they were not ecstatic. I was very concerned about how to share with them. I prayed to the Lord and I said, "Oh God, you know, they need to know," but with love. So, and I said, "Please, Lord, if this is your will, I would pray that they will not reject me." So I shared with them. And by doing so, all I did is looked with my father and my brother and my grandfather and my oldest uncle, which is also a rabbi, we looked at the Old Testament. And I said, this is for you to decide. I'm just pointing you to those prophecies, and it's for you to make a decision. Years later, about a dozen years later, and it was just recently, a little over a year or so ago, my father almost died. He was in a coma when I arrived in Israel. I sped directly to the hospital, and he was there lying in a coma. I got a hold of the doctor, and I asked her, and I said, doctor, tell me how much time my father have. And she says, well, he has 20% chance of surviving through the night. And I was really shocked, and on the other hand, was mad at my brother for not letting me know earlier so I could be there to speak with him, you know, to hear his last words. You know, you want to do that.
Sure.
You want to say your goodbyes. And I remember sitting there in the hospital room, and I was weeping. And I said, oh, Lord, if it is as your will, take him now. If it is your will that he will stay, give him his faculties back. And I was just praying over him. And I'm sitting there, and I put my mouth into my father's ear, and for about 20 minutes, I whispered the name Yeshua. That's all I said.
Why did you do that?
Because it means salvation. Maybe, I don't know all these supernatural activities that you know, happens between the time you die and the time you reach the throne of God. Maybe God will give him a thought, something, you know, that he will be able to make a decision, and I wanted that to be his last word in his mind, Yeshua. And for about 20 minutes or so, that's all I said in his ears, and I kissed him on his forehead, and I left, and that was my goodbye. And it was Tuesday evening, and I had people that were with me, some dignitaries that were with me that I was showing around the land and keeping in contact with my family. And indeed, he survived the night, and he was coming around very, very slowly. However, by Friday, I came back to see him, and the bed was all made up as I entered the hospital room, and I was really shocked, and I said, oh my, he's done, he's gone. And nobody told me. So I ran to the station of the nurse's station, and I said, where's my father? Where's Mr. Shore? Where's Judah? His name is Judah. I said, where's Judah Shore? And she said, oh, they never told you? She said, it's a miracle. She said, it's absolute miracle. He just bounced back, and we called your brother, and he came about an hour ago, took him home.
He had that miracle, and then what did he tell you about Yeshua quickly?
Quickly, what he said, son, let me tell you something. He took me to the front yard, and he says, looked me in the eye, and he said, son, what you say about Yeshua, that he is a Messiah, he says, I have no problem believing that he is. And I looked at him and I said, Daddy, Father, do you understand? Abba, that's what we say in Hebrew. We don't say Daddy. We say, Abba, what are you saying? He says, that's what I'm saying to you, that I am not opposed to believe that Yeshua is the Messiah.
Yeshua, Jesus. That's what he said. There is power in the name. The Hebrew for Jesus is Yeshua. There is so much power in the name of Yeshua. Yeshua. I mean, some of you can actually feel the presence of God, the same thing that Amnon went through. Yeshua. And some of you are beginning to weep. That's time to do the same thing as Amnon did. That is your time. And you can feel the presence of God is tell God you're sorry for your sins, believe the blood of Jesus, wash that away, and you are clean. You are clean. You are clean. And now that you are clean, you want an experiential knowledge of God. say, Yeshua, become real to me. I make you my Lord. Come inside of me. Someone's head has just been healed and someone's back has just been healed in Yeshua's name.